going to read from Isaiah the prophet, from the 17th chapter, Isaiah chapter 17, just a couple of verses, 7 to 9. Isaiah chapter 17, verses 7 to 9. We are still in a pronouncement of judgment against the nation of Aram, against Syria. And all the nations in the Middle East are going to be subject to God's judgment all those years ago. And yet even amid this passage detailing the judgment of God, there is some wonderful hope described in verses 7 to 9. I'll read them and then offer some comment. Yeah. At that day shall a man look to his Maker, and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. And he shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. In that day shall his strong cities be as forsaken, as a forsaken bough, and as an uppermost branch which they left because of the children of Israel, and there shall be desolation. Okay, so this judgment is coming. We get it in verse 9, in that day. And the strong cities of Syria, where they had their strength, their fortified towers, they had their men-at-arms, they are going to be abandoned. Syria, as a nation, is going to be attacked by Assyria, and it's effectively going to be destroyed. It's going to be like a forsaken bough, or a branch. A branch on a tree that cannot be cut down, or the fruit cannot be shaken off it because it's so tall. It's left alone. They're going to be left there. It will be a place of desolation. And yet, while that's happening in that day, in verse 9, we have at that day in verse 7. At that day shall a man look to his Maker. Now, that's really good news. Because people do not look to their Maker. They look everywhere but their Maker, or somebody prayed before. People look down. They don't look up. They look to their wealth. They look to their prospects. They might even look to their family. They don't look to their Maker. But Isaiah is seeing a day in Syria when people will look to and for their Maker, the one who created them, the one who knitted them together in their mother's womb. They're going to have a spiritual awakening on the same day as all the physical strength of Syria is going to be destroyed. Sometimes when all is well in life, we do not seek the Lord, only when things go wrong. Well, such will happen here in Syria. He goes on, his eye shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. Now, if you were to ask me, who is the Holy One of Israel? I'd say, well, Jesus Christ. But of course, Isaiah is writing hundreds of years before Jesus came. Isaiah probably had a greater understanding of Jesus than many other prophets, to be fair. But Isaiah did not fully understand him. How could the Syrians understand him when they are actually pagan people? Well, I think that when you truly look to your Maker, you find Jesus Christ. Now, we know that Jesus Christ is not coming to be born until hundreds of years after this has actually happened. But today, if you seek God with all your heart, you find him. Before Jesus was born, what we might call Old Testament times, if you sought God with all your heart, guess what? You would find him. Because God is gracious. And whatever limited understanding of redemption that an ancient Syrian could have had, they would have it. They would look to the coming Jewish Messiah. So they look to the Maker. Their eyes have respect to the Holy One of Israel. In verse 8, we're told where they won't look from now on. He shall not look to the altars, the work of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. In this incredible day which Isaiah foretells, when the strong cities are being forsaken and there is desolation, people of Syria will look to the Maker, and they will, through the eyes of faith, seek Jesus Christ, though they cannot name him nor understand him. And when you look to Jesus Christ, it means you look away from the altars. Now, we know in many churches today there are altars. They are effectively communion tables upon which communion is celebrated. We have a communion table here. We don't call it an altar. An altar is a place of sacrifice. Christ was sacrificed once and for all. No need to keep on sacrificing him if such a thing could happen. But here it's talking about pagan altars. You see, when you look to Jesus Christ, you can no longer bear to look at a pagan altar. When you seek him and you desire him, the things of this world grow strangely dim. The false gods of this world appear what they truly are, nothing. Furthermore, they will stop looking at the work of their hands. They shall not respect that which their fingers have made. I suspect it's referring here to an actual physical idol. An ancient Syrian would want a god. He would pay a craftsman money to make him one. Well, we know that's absurd. Or if he has a bit of skill with the lathe, he might make himself an idol. I might have 5 gods, you might have 10. They're all worthless and meaningless. But Isaiah sees a day in Syria when even the Syrian will abandon the idol he has crafted and made, because he has had a realization that there is a real God out there. And that real God, somehow, we know through Jesus Christ, we can name him, but somehow the real God of heaven is in the business of responding and opening people's hearts. Neither will they look to the groves or the images, those sacred places, those places of pagan ritual, those images of pagan gods, they will be ignored. It's a shame, really, that the people of Syria must be subject to such a desolation before they cry out to the one true God. But have you noticed when so many people give a testimony? They're often going through a very difficult time or a traumatic time, and this went wrong and that went wrong. We heard a number of them a few weeks ago. It does happen this way, but not many testimonies are, well, my life was really good and I went shopping one day and then I felt, you know what, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. It could happen that way, but often the trials and difficulties of life cause us to call out to him. And that is going to happen in ancient Syria, says Isaiah the prophet. In that day, when the tree is shaken, when the strong cities are forsaken and there is desolation, the people will look to the Maker, they'll have respect to the Holy One, and while they are looking at him, they will abandon their paganism. One of the dangers of in ancient Israel was something called syncretism. And that means when you blend or fuse together true religion with false religion. If you know anything about voodoo, I don't imagine you do. But if you do, if you were to go to a voodoo temple, you would see ancient African paganism, but then you'll see a statue of Mary, or a statue of Francis of Assisi. You think, well, is it Roman Catholic, or is it tribal African religion? And of course, it's both. They blended the two together. And in ancient Israel, often, to their shame, they did the same thing. They would worship other gods as well as the one true God. But you know what? When God has really done a work in the heart, all your satisfaction comes from him alone. And the idols and the altars and the groves and the images no longer have any appeal. When you really know Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel, nothing else is worth having. I pray God will bless that word.